The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
And here they are, the hosts of the morning show.
I am Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
I'm doing good.
Happy Independence Day to you.
Is that what it is? No, happy Independence Day to you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm independent. You're not?
No, I'm not.
I know. You have someone taking care of you. What the hell is that?
I just had an anniversary. Oh. Happy anniversary.
That's from the Flintstones.
Happy anniversary to my wonderful wife, Lana. Yes, it is.
That's the... And what is the original tune?
What do you mean? Happy anniversary.
Yeah. Fred sings the melody of another song.
Happy anniversary.
I think it was Barney. Sorry. Actually sings the song.
William's Tale.
Close. Yeah.
William's Tell.
That's right. Very good.
All righty. Little trivia.
Thank you very much. It's on the nice. Music show.
This isn't the trivia show this week.
No, but I like to throw stuff at you every once in a while.
Yeah, I almost had to beep Moat.
No beeping, please.
A beautiful day for once. Is it cool out, actually?
No.
It's a little warm in here.
It's
getting warmer.
Let's take off all our clothes. It's warmer out today than it was the last few days, but
yesterday was cool. I liked it though.
Yeah, so did I. It's very comfortable, as you might call it. No humidity in the air. What you been up to? I know you're busy shooting some videos for a band.
I'm shooting videos and editing video and all that stuff.
That stuff.
Yeah.
That you do.
Same old, same old.
It's what you wanted to do, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
I can't say it's not fun.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
As long as
you... I mean, it's the same old, same old. It's the same, doing the same thing, but always with, like, different people, different bands, and different, you know what I mean, projects and stuff. So it's cool. Right. It's always something new, right?
Right.
And new challenges along with it.
And you're always learning something, aren't you?
Yeah.
You always learn something.
For sure, yeah. Learning will probably never end. I don't even have enough time to learn now. We don't have enough time to learn everything that we want to learn now, do we?
I don't think so.
There's probably all kinds of stuff you still want to do, and
yeah,
we're not going to have time to get through it all.
We're not going
to
get to that.
How do we change that?
Fountain of Youth? I'm not sure.
Ooh, there you go. You ever have DHEA?
Not yet. You want me to try that?
After about 30, your body starts to not produce it anymore, but it's definitely worth trying out. It's pretty cool.
Do you have some here?
I don't, no.
Dang.
Yeah. But we should get some.
Yeah, hook me up.
We'll have a DHEA party.
Kids,
don't try this at home.
Do they have DEA?
No, they don't.
I bet you they do.
No, they have shaman parties probably somewhere, though, with really crazy drugs.
And now we're going to do some music news. Did you know that Bruce Springsteen is now such a...
And moving on.
Why do you do that?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I've never really been that big of a Bruce Springsteen fan, although I think he's, you know, he writes some good songs and he's, kind of like that, always been that good old American boy kind of, you know, whatever.
Right.
He's not even... Yeah, okay.
He's not even a boy anymore, you're going to
say.
Well,
no, but I mean, yeah.
Well, here's
what's his nationality or whatever? Anyway, Springsteen, what is that? That's not just American, is it?
No, is he's not Jewish?
I don't know. That's what I would suspect, but
I would suspect.
But for some reason, I think he might not be though. But I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
Looks like he might be, but anyway, tell us about Bruce Springsteen. Well,
this is the deal with Bruce Springsteen. He is so part of the American fabric, and it's that kind of weekend. It's the July 4th weekend. That he has his own Jeopardy category thing, his own round.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So here are the categories that were in the Jeopardy round that they played. I don't know if it was the first one or the second one.
Bruce Springsteen for 200, please.
Yeah, it would be the second round because okay. It's 2, 400 and 600 and all that. Mm-hmm. So the first one's Born in the USA. The next one's Glory Days. Cover Me, The Ghost of Tom Joad, Bruce Springsteen, actual topic, and the E Street Band is the last one.
Hmm. Who's the drummer from the E Street Band? Come on.
Max Weinstein.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another Jewish man.
Nice Hebrew boy.
Yes. But obviously the... I shouldn't say... There's nothing obvious about being Jewish, is there? Because anybody can be Jewish, right?
You'd have to have your pants down to make it unobvious. Don't try that at home, kids.
Not in front of your parents, anyway.
So Motley Crue's farewell tour gets off to a rough start, apparently. Last Wednesday night in Grand Rapids, Michigan, kicking things off. And I guess they had all kinds of technical problems.
And not so technical
first
problems.
First few songs, Tommy Lee broke a skin.
Bass skin.
Yeah.
They had to stop the show and
Mick play. Mars did a long guitar solo that I guess everybody's getting bored with. And then they had to stop for like 10 minutes or something. Didn't do anything.
They just played music over the PA like the beginning of the show kind of thing.
I think they could have done something else.
Tommy Lee could have done a drum solo, but he has his solo thing with the whole spinning drum set.
He could have done a bass solo or a vocal solo.
No, I guess he sucked.
The guitar solo thing, you mean?
No, the singer dude.
Oh, really?
Just didn't sound...
That doesn't surprise me.
But I guess Mick Mars screwed up two intros to songs, like start playing them and then screwed it up and had to stop and then start again. And then Nikki Sixx, the bass player, says... Something about he was trying to. This is how rock and roll we are, that we forget our own songs. It's been 25 years since we wrote this song.
Well, you think they might have rehearsed before?
Yeah, rehearsing
kickoff world.
We're paying you
going out of business tour.
Pretty much, I guess they signed something that said this is the farewell tour.
We talked about that on the show. I think
we did.
Yeah, I think we did briefly because we talked about Motley Crue. I don't know how many times they did a farewell tour. And speaking of not knowing the songs or whatever, Rob Halford apparently shrugged off Iron Maiden frontman Bruce Dickinson's criticism that Rob Halford uses teleprompters for his lyrics.
Yeah.
Which is great.
He says it's great because you also use a teleprompter.
I do, of sorts. Yeah, I wouldn't want to remember anything.
How come?
I don't know.
Those songs should be in your heart.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, see, that's the attitude.
They are.
That's the attitude.
But it's you know what the thing is for me? It's the playing that's in my heart more than anything.
Right, so it's not the lyrics.
Not that the lyrics are a secondary thing. You know
they are. To you, they are.
Well, they are to the playing, but I mean, not what was written. You know what I mean? But just the fact that, you know, I don't consider them as much as... of anything is like I do my playing.
So. I realize that.
It's all about the solo.
It's all about the solo, but Rob Halford, who doesn't even play guitar.
Yeah, but it sure makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, everybody
Dickinson was going on about the fact that, you know, I don't know how, sometimes saw the teleprompter or saw it in a video or something in it, and breaking the law, had breaking the law written down there, breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law. You know how they say it all the time?
Yeah.
It's actually on there. But that's the lyrics, so what?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to look at it and think I was in a different spot, right?
That's right.
So, who cares, man?
There's a couple of glimpses I remember in the movie Celebration Day, Robert Plant and Led Zeppelin, the whole deal. Where you can see it. I'm sure there was, you know, tried to make...
So many guys use that, man.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. There's not that many that don't. And the thing is, in a big concert like that, that's, you know, where it's important that everything's perfect.
Yeah.
Then you should... you know, take those extra precautions too, that, you know.
Right, because you're in a situation where there's so many things going on. There's a big, huge crowd. Your brain could be sidetracked just for, it's all it takes is 2 seconds, right?
Yeah.
And the next thing you know.
Screw anything up.
What verse am I in or whatever? It's just right there. It's ready for you to go.
That's why I use sheet music as well at my shows.
I don't know what you're talking about. What you talking about, Willis?
Oh, you need probably a lesson then on theory.
Maybe. I don't know.
Sheet music, man.
Sheet music
with the notes on it. You have some more news for us.
Yes,
though, right?
But you don't actually use a sheet of paper.
Oh, well, no.
No, you have
what would you call it then if it was it's not on
virtual paper?
Yeah, virtual sheet music.
Virtual sheet music, exactly. Okay. What kind of sheet is that?
Give us some more news.
David Grohl talks about
Grohl.
David Grohl said the fan orchestrated and crowd funded concert the Foo Fighters agreed to play in Richmond, Virginia could be the future of how bands plan their tours in a new interview with South African radio. This kind of reminds me of something I was looking up. A lot of bands are doing this. So if they just put a price out there. If you want our band to come to your town, this is how much it is. We don't need a promoter. Who is ever willing to organize it or get the local shops in town to sponsor? People put in money or whatever. You figure it out. This is the price here.
Yeah.
And do it. And then this way we'll end up going to places we probably would never end up playing because the venue is wicked small or whatever. The promoter would think of it as a nightmare, whereas people who are in the town.
Yeah. Or they get together and
Say, let's do this thing. And that's how this happened. And
it's cool.
And what made me think of that is I was on the 5440 site, and that's what they're doing to raise money to record and distribute their music.
We should probably do that with Peek Away.
And I know that Neil Osborne, the singer from 5440, you can get him in your living room.
For a price.
$5,000.
Yeah.
He'll fly here. That covers his airfare, and he'll play an acoustic show in your living room.
That's kind of neat, ain't it?
Yeah. The whole band for $7,500. An acoustic show in your living room. But if you want the whole band to play like...
Electric live
show. Yeah, in the neighborhood bar or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
$25,000.
That's big money.
Yeah, because you got to pay the crew and you got to ship all their stuff here. Whereas they're willing to fly with their acoustic guitar to your town and play.
Well, we could do that for $10 somewhere.
Okay, I'm in. $10.
Plus airfare and... airfare.
We'll play Peek Away in your living room. yeah, that's all the news I have.
All right. What is today's topic?
Well, as we promised the fine listeners of Big JD and Lipo in the Morning, that we would put it out there on our Facebook that we'd ask them, what instrument is it that you always wanted to learn, but you never did?
Yeah, kind of a survey for a poll, I guess, for non-musicians to choose, you know, let us know what instrument they would play if they could play an instrument kind of thing. So,
yep.
And do we know what that...
I didn't look at your... Did you look at all your...
Yeah, I did look at everything. And it's primarily guitar.
A lot of people want
to play guitar. A lot of acoustic, though, a lot said.
I didn't get that.
We'll go through and take a closer look at them and move along. After we listen to a great guitar solo.
Well, it's the guitar rendition of the American National Anthem, otherwise known as the Star Spangled Banner.
By...
Jimi Hendrix.
At
Woodstock. Or is it your rendition?
No, it's not my rendition. I never did it.
How come? That would be perfect for you.
I might have done a few bars of it.
Or I played it a few bars in a few bars.
I didn't have the sheet music.
All right, take us back to 1969 in Yazgur's Farm. Jimi Hendrix. Monday morning, everybody left, and this is what you get to listen to.
On Sunday morning.
Sunday morning? No, it was Monday morning.
Yeah, but listen to it now on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And there's the Star Spangled Banner by Hendrix.
Awesome.
Great what would tune. He be doing today?
What would he be doing today? He'd be playing the national anthem somewhere, I'm sure.
I suppose, yeah. I wonder what kind of music he'd be doing, though. I wonder what it'd be like, and you know what I mean? Would he be doing, like, full-out blues, or would he be doing, like, something altogether different?
You know what a lot of musicians do, especially, you know, guys that were as accomplished as him, they all touch on jazz. Mm-hmm. And he never really got into his jazz thing. He was blues as blues get, and then he kind of invented rock guitar for the most part. Mm-hmm. Like, a certain way of playing rock guitar. And it was funny when I just went and saw that Dick Wagner thing, too. And I asked, I had asked him about what got you into blues. Was it just the passion of it? Or were your parents listening to blues? Or what was it about blues? Mm-hmm. And then he gave his answer, and it was eloquent and whatever. But he made it sound like, I didn't play a lot of blues. I was more of a rock guitar guy. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, wow, he must have something in his head that he defines as rock guitar. And
that's especially from back then when, you know, everybody's music kind of came from somewhere.
Yes.
But there wasn't so much, you know, like what, I guess, I mean, there was a certain amount of what was called rock and roll, but it kind of stemmed from the blues, right?
Right. And I would have to think that he's thinking that there wasn't a lot of this guitar around. Like, this is a specific thing that it isn't anything like this. It's something like this, but it's nothing like that. So it's its own...
kind of defining rock and roll.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. And so let's... we'll get back to now our poll.
Our barber's poll?
And I'm actually going to call up... I guess I can...
You're going to call up the barber?
And we can still
see... You think I need a haircut?
Rolling along here. So these are some of the things that we got. Acoustic... somebody just said guitar, singing. Singing was a big thing, too.
And singing some, was a big thing. Some
said singing and guitar, actually. So they would choose both of them. Some odd things in there, like the vuvuzela. Is that how you say that? That crazy horn that they blow at the...
at the World Cup. They did it. Yeah. At least that's what they did in South Africa.
That was pretty funny. Percussion and or lead vocals. Axe in any metal, blues, or rock band. Cello, trombone. Oh, rusty trombone, that is. Another cello, actually.
So cello it is, then?
No, it's not cello, though. Spoons.
Wow. Some really interesting answers here.
I actually spelled instrument wrong when I posted it the first time. And somebody said, I will have interment. Or I will save interment until after I've died. Because I had interment. piano. I think there was a couple pianos. Let's see what it got on yours also. Auto harp, mandolin, huaca. That was mine. I wouldn't mind knowing how to play the huaca.
Is that an instrument?
It is an instrument.
I thought you were trying to say hookah or something.
No, I'll tell you what the huaca is also. Invented in 1980 by Sharon Rowell. Or Rowell, in the California Bay Area, this multiple chambered pan cultural vessel flute based on thousand year old idea of sound in clay is a radical innovation. Chambers are tuned to a specific key and to each other in a tempered fashion like the piano. And the shape of the instrument reminds some of lungs or a heart. And it has three large chambers with a split mouthpiece, allowing one, two, or three notes to be played simultaneously. It's kind of neat. And the premier composer of the huaca is actually a guy by the name of Alan Tower. And he's got a CD out that was a six-year in-the-making project called Waves. So you can maybe search that online. I think you can go to alantower.com, actually. But it's a weird-looking instrument, and it's pretty unique because it gets all these sounds at the same time. Especially a three-chambered thing.
It looks like a heart.
It does look like a heart or lungs, yeah.
But yeah, it looks very organic, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, though.
But you never wanted to play that when you were growing up.
No, I do now.
What about, seriously, what instrument that you wish you knew how to play that you don't know?
Oh, keyboard, for sure.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, keyboard. I mean, I don't know it very well. I get by,
yeah,
but I need a lot for recording and MIDI and all that stuff. So I always get by with what I need to do, but I'm not a player, you know what I mean?
Right.
Which would just be so much more beneficial, and I don't have time to learn. I only got about 10 years left, so.
I know what you're talking about, brother. There's only so much stuff we can do, and we still have to work, unfortunately.
But I think I'll stick to learning the guitar for now, and then, you know, move on from there later.
Do you think you'll still learn stuff from playing guitar?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah, new tricks and stuff.
Do you?
But yeah, I mean, you could always learn guitar still, I think, something. I mean, you can get it, understand, you know, all the different things. But I think for the most part, a lot of times, I would say most of us, we kind of play the music that we do. You know, we're not still learning the thing, as opposed to, you know, you're in a rock band, so you're playing rock music all the time and learning rock songs and, you know, that kind of stuff. So you're not necessarily concentrated on other areas of the guitar, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, yeah, you could always learn. But it's a pretty, it's an instrument that you could, I think, forever learn still, guitar.
Sure. Yep. I picked up the ukulele recently, and I'm still learning for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Same with the ukulele. I mean, I sort of understand it, and I can use it to record and work on stuff, or I'll look for some certain chords and sequence chord progressions and stuff like that, so I can just do something I need to, but I've never really sat down and just learned the instrument, you know what I mean? But I like it.
I love it. Same with harmonica with me. I think there's so many different plateaus that you can hit. I feel like I'm so at the bottom of all the plateaus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can check out my uke stuff online, but I'm not sure where it is.
Not the uke king?
Yeah, that's what it is, but it's not a, its own domain.
Okay.
It might be, I don't even know. It could be jeffoppen.com/the uke king or something like that. Or search it on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can find some uke king stuff. But then there's some actual recordings online, too. And they're not bad, I thought. Anyway. But back to the guitar.
So because most most people wanted to learn.
That was primarily what people would like to know that don't already play instruments is the guitar.
And why do you think that is? Let's go.
Because
it's
melodic, I think, more so than a lot of instruments or a bass guitar or drums. I mean, it's the melody. You know what I mean?
It's also the rhythm.
It's the rhythm, too, but it...
It can be so many things.
It can play the song and... You know, you can know what song it is by playing that instrument. Not always, you can't always do that with a bass instrument or definitely, I guess, with a piano, you could as well. Keyboard, I mean, it plays the melody, you know what I mean, kind of thing.
Right.
Or singing, that type of thing. But drums, obviously not. You wouldn't guess a song necessarily by the drums
unless
it was a particular song that has a, you know, if somebody went, you know what it is, right?
Yes, I do.
See? Some things you would
know. Francis used to do that. We used to waste so much time because Francis would start playing. Hey, do you know what this is? And he'd start playing.
Yeah.
And Dan would say, I can think of 12 songs that belongs to. What the heck are you doing? You're wasting our time.
Or if there's this one, I'm just on the kick drum.
Boof.
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 Yeah, Sabbath, right? Or the beginning of Smoke on the Water. That's a
guitar riff.
Yeah, but I mean, the drums are... So whatever it is, I can't recall exactly what the hats do. But I mean, it's sort of a...
It's unique.
Yeah.
To its place in rock and roll.
That's one that just came to mind. But there's other drum ones, I'm sure, that...
For sure.
Could come into mind that you'd know the song, but it's still no melody, obviously.
Obviously, right. I remember
we associate it with
me and Dan used to play, and we'd have my brother playing. So all he knew was just straight 4/4 for the most part, and some blues shuffles and stuff. And then we got another guy, a friend of ours, and he came and he'd actually know the part of the song, and we didn't ever play with anybody who was like that. And we were like, oh my goodness, the drum's actually playing the right part of the song when it comes up. Yeah, it's like. This just helps us bring the whole song so much
when you're
much
a musician,
farther.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference.
Wow, it's like, I remember...
Somebody listening that doesn't really know how to play or anything, that's a lot different. The songs I chose today, too, to play this morning were really guitar-based, like the Hendrix thing, and I got some Black Sabbath from a bit of finger medley thing on the first Sabbath. He does a long guitar solo, so I got just the guitar solo lined up. That's going to be nice. But right now, let's listen to something that you brought in the studio today. And that is Daniel and the...
Auto Harp.
Sacred Harp.
That's from the band, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure what album that is from.
The band? What band?
The band, which of course was Bob Dylan's band. But great Canadian musicians and the dude, what's his name? The Garth...
Brooks.
No, Garth... Hudson. Garth Hudson, keyboard player for the band. He's like from right around here.
Mm-hmm. In this neck of the building over here.
No, like in this neck of the woods, though, in the Windsor area.
Wow. It's kind of neat, eh?
Yeah, it is.
I'm from this area, and I'm in the band. Jeffrey Davis Blues Connection.
Awesome. Let's hear Daniel and the Auto Harp. No.
Daniel and the Coat of Many Colors. Sacred Harp.
Sacred Harp.
Daniel and the Sacred Harp. Dancing through the clover. Daniel, would you mind if I look it over? I heard of this famous harp years ago, back in my hometown. But I sure never thought old Dan would be the one to come and bring it around. Tell me, Daniel, how the harp came into your possession. Are you one of the chosen few who will march in the procession? And Daniel said, this sacred harp was handed down from father unto son. And me not being related, I could never be the one. So I saved up all my silver and took it to a man who said he could deliver the harp straight into my hand. 3 years I waited patiently till he returned with the harp from the Sea of Galilee. He said, there is one more thing I must ask, but not of personal greed. But I wouldn't listen, I just grabbed the harp and said, take what you may need. His heart just for time to pass, but as he looked to the ground, he noticed no shadow did he cast.
And now some Tony Iommi on Big JD and Lipo in the Morning.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
So let's talk a little bit about the guitar itself. I mean, for somebody that wants to learn guitar, there's multiple ways that you can do that. I guess you could go take lessons. You can just buy a guitar and teach yourself with the using the internet.
The YouTube.
For, YouTube for learning.
There's so many people know how to play guitar now because of YouTube.
YouTube, and also just because you can find all like tab and stuff like that on doing searches for the, which makes it a lot easier for somebody to play because it's the dots on tab are associated with the strings and not music theory, which is a pretty neat thing.
I never bothered
with tab, but it's pretty.
I found that tab got progressively worse. I know that I used to subscribe to magazines like Guitar for the Practicing Musician, and
so what are you saying? Worse that they're not as close to
the real thing. Yeah, so there was the dudes who were transcribing music,
yeah,
and they were making notes, you know, mm-hmm, like on a treble clef.
Yeah,
and then they realized, okay, there's a lot more guitarists out there who want tab, and they started actually printing tabs.
Yeah, I think
in the magazines.
Yeah,
and they're extremely accurate.
Uh huh.
Then everybody started
they
writing tabs.
Lackadaisical.
And there is some crappy stuff to sift through to get the right tab. So everybody's, I think a lot of people are just shying away from it because there's so much junk there. They just go right to the YouTube and get a lesson on whatever they're trying to learn.
I think it's the same thing with like somebody just learning a song not to a T, you know what I mean? Just getting it down, basically. And that's kind of like what they're doing with the tab now, is just, you know, getting the basic part, structure of the song maybe, and not really.
Whereas a lot of people, they've done that part already themselves, and they want to know the little tricky part. What is this part here?
Right, that's not included.
And it's not included.
You got to pay extra for that.
Well, yeah, or you just got to search a little bit harder or whatever, right? But, and like you say, you pay a little bit extra. There are tab services out there that you can actually pay for, and you can get tabs limitless, and they're all very accurate. But
we should be transcribers.
You think?
Why not? I'll do the cheap ones. you can do the real ones. With the extra notes. I'll leave all kinds of stuff out. Yeah, I just learn a cover song, actually.
For the Jeffrey David Blues Band?
No, actually, for Lana's heavy metal album. You know, we had one song done, right?
Right, I remember. And you know, actually,
she's doing a Judas Priest cover.
I just listened to the other tune that she did. Are we talking about the same tune? She did it maybe a year or two ago.
Oh, really? Maybe.
Yeah.
Was it another tune? What tune? Oh, the one, Fist in Your Face.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Down. I listened to it on the way here a few weeks
ago. Did you?
That's funny. On the way back. From on the way here, actually. It is kind of funny.
Yeah, there's like five songs. And
so she's doing
pretty
an
much
EP.
Ready for vocals, but yeah, an EP.
And
one of them's a cover of Judas Priest, Angel, from Angel of Retribution. It's just about done. Pretty much ready for a final mix now on it. But that's the only other one that... actually, she did do a rough vocal track on another one before, but...
So we're going to hear one of those tunes on the show eventually, right?
Yeah, we can, for sure.
And she's going to be wailing on it.
Yeah, she's wailing pretty good, yeah. I push her.
We have to push her.
She's not... I mean, she never did anything like that before, right?
I know, but you'd have to
push her. So I make her sing.
For sure.
She's like, I can't do any of this. And I said, oh, yeah. This is what you do. Do this, 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 and this, and it'll work. Trust me. And it is, yeah. It's cool. Heavy metal.
Heavy metal Svetlana.
At some point, I think we'll release that. For real.
For reals. On iTunes.
For reals. So what do you got here?
I got the song. It's called Bob the Drummer.
Uh-huh.
From a band called Dada. D-A-D-A. And the first time I heard this song was on a giveaway. I think it was in a case of beer. The magazine was called Launch. They might still be around. An actual physical magazine. And they gave away a CD with all these indie bands on it. And this was one of the tunes in there. And I just stuck it in my car. And there's a bunch of really good tunes on there. There was the other tune that kind of got popular. It's called Scooby Snacks. Mm. Do you remember that tune?
No.
No. It got really popular. Anyway, this is Bob the Drummer. And it's about a guy who's looking for a set of drums. And he meets up with Bob the Drummer.
All right. For all you that did our little poll and wanted to play drums.
Yep. Great tune.
Yeah.
And we'll be back right after this.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And we're back.
Louise Papa Cheese.
That's another song right there. Jeez Louise Papa Cheese.
That's from The Pick of Destiny.
Papa Cheese. That sounds like it would be a rap artist guy.
Yo, could be.
Papa G, what's up, dog?
For sure.
Papa G, you know what I mean? Like money or G, gangster.
Gangster. G notes.
G notes, yep.
Government man? No.
What? Good golly.
Darn it.
I'll have to beep that out. Darn it.
Darning something. Oh, that's crazy. You're darning it.
So we were talking about our poll and the fact that most people wanted to play guitar. And we were talking a little bit about the guitar itself, I guess, and some of the ways that you can learn how to play guitar if that's what you want to do. And one thing, too, is well, the difference between acoustic and electric guitar. Electric guitar can be easier to play, but you don't really get the volume sound out of it. I mean, you need an amp.
An acoustic guitar needs an amp.
No, not an acoustic guitar.
Did I electric? Say this? Yeah. Electric guitar needs an amp.
Yeah, because the other one's got a big, fat, hollow body, and it's louder. So a lot of times people will choose that guitar because they don't need an amp. They can play around a campfire and do all these different things without having an amplifier, and you need that with an electric guitar. And then if you're for kids and things like that, if you get an electric guitar, can you put nylon strings on a regular acoustic guitar? Or is that, how does that work? You know what I mean? As opposed to, I mean, a classical guitar is pretty much the same thing.
It's the same thing. A little different shape, a little smaller body, but it's the bridge that you need, the specific bridge that you're going to string your...
Yeah, you'd have to come up in, you couldn't even actually do that because, it depends. Yeah, if you put a knot in the end and then you can put your peg in or whatever, right?
If you put a knot in the end?
Yeah.
Will that work?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, as long as a knot or double knot, so it's big enough to hold, put in your peg, because that's all your peg holds.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the peg holds it in, but...
Because you have a thing at the end of it.
But there's the little slit that's in the pin, right? And I would have to think that...
Yeah, but your string would come through that.
Yeah.
But as long as you're...
I'm just thinking the knot would also kind of wedge its way in there.
And no, but that's what I say, you know, with nylon. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to make sure the knot was pretty tight, because otherwise it, you know, would... loosen up.
And why do you ask such a crazy question?
Somebody was asking about getting their, it was a Melana's cousin actually, getting
a classic guitar?
Nephew, another, a new acoustic, and getting him a classical guitar because he's got a regular one. And I was thinking, well, maybe you could just put nylon strings on there, and because he's learning some classical stuff now at lessons. And also classical, what I was getting to was that nylon strings would be a little easier to play actually than...
steel
strings. An acoustic with steel strings.
Yeah,
it is. There's a thought to keep in mind as well.
Did you know a gentleman by the name of Christopher Craddock?
Yeah. He's out in BC, I think, still, right?
Yeah, he was an amazing classical guitar
player. Went out there with Bracewell, I think.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You may even see
him when he passed away, I think, the brother, Bracewell brother.
Oh,
Wayne and, you know, but I think they went out there together and started a... recording studio or something. That's what I recall, I think.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I got lessons from Chris, classical lessons. Mm-hmm. And
I know he was good, but I didn't really know him, you know what I mean? And I think he was a little bit older than me, if I'm not mistaken, too. Just maybe by a little bit. Like, he was, you know,
almost he was
playing in bands and stuff. He was, yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
He used to hang out with Mad Dog.
Did he?
Yep. They were buddies. But anyway, classical guitar, it's not something I'd recommend unless you're super into that kind
of... Well, yeah, playing classical guitar, but using a classical guitar might be easy for...
Oh, you mean like the strum stuff?
Yeah, yeah, just to play, you know?
Yeah, because then your strings are space different, too, on a classical guitar.
Yeah, they're spaced wider
farther
apart,
away from each other, yeah. So...
Hmm.
It's an interesting instrument, and if you're not familiar with classical guitar, get on YouTube and look up a guy named Andre Segovia.
Ah. Uh-huh.
He's where it all comes from. He's a Spaniard.
Yeah, Spaniard. I was actually looking at some Andre Segovia to play on the show today, but I chose not to. I went with somebody else instead.
Oh.
For later on the show. We'll play him at the end. Al Di Meola, actually.
I've seen Elf.
Race with the Devil on a Spanish Highway.
Awesome.
Spaniard Highway.
Spaniels.
And we'll come back with some more music right after this.
All right, a little bit more music. Speaking of guitar, that is the name of this song. It's from the band Cake from their Prolonging the Magic CD.
I'm sitting by the window of your 32nd floor apartment, waiting for your phone calls all to end.
To you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Okay, I was asking Lippo during that little intermission what next week's show was going to be on, and he says you want to pick a genre, and I said, let's pick it live. So let's pick it live.
I don't have anything to pick with.
Okay, you need a pick, an ice pick. Remember ice tongs?
Plectrum.
And picks. Huh?
Plectrum.
That's the, okay, that's, oh, I thought that was next week's genre. So, What can we do for next week? Do we pick something like just out of the ordinary, like jazz, or do we do something different? Is there a different genre we can do?
Grunge.
Yeah. Okay.
If you don't want it, let's.
No, I don't mind. I don't mind. Whatever. Grunge is cool.
Yeah, I mean,
I just say yeah. I wasn't going thinking that at all, but yeah, that's good.
Pick something else if you don't like it.
No, I like it.
All right.
Yeah.
Grunge it is.
Killed metal.
Grunge kind of killed metal. We'll talk all about that next week.
All right. We'll see everybody next week.
Thanks a lot for listening. We're going to play another song before we get out of here.
Yeah, let's do that. The Al de Mayola song, Race with the Devil on a Spanish Highway.
Awesome guitarist.
See everybody next week.
Thanks a lot for listening. See you next week.
Bye.
join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.